MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Fragile Clock, How Atomic Time Synchronizes Power, Markets, Networks, and Machines.
No single master clock determines the world's time. There is no central vault where a solitary pendulum or a single atomic chamber ticks out the absolute second for the rest of humanity to follow. Instead, international time is an ongoing mathematical calculation, computed after the fact from hundreds of atomic clocks located across the globe. Meanwhile, every system that keeps modern society running, from regional power grids and algorithmic trading desks to cellular networks and distributed databases, relies on an imperfect local approximation. When those approximations drift apart, the failure is rarely an instantaneous cinematic blackout. What actually breaks when distant machines can no longer agree on the exact sequence of events is quieter, far more pervasive, and much harder to fix.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. Modern timekeeping begins with a fundamental physical constant rather than astronomical movement. Since 1967, the international second has been defined by the properties of the cesium-133 atom. Under the international system of units, 1 second corresponds to exactly 9,192,631,770 cycles of microwave radiation. Specifically, this radiation matches the transition between two hyperfine ground levels of an unperturbed cesium atom.
Atoms provide an exceptionally reproducible frequency reference because every unperturbed cesium atom in the universe responds to that identical transition frequency. Practical atomic clocks, however, are physical machines operating in real environments. Temperature fluctuations, electromagnetic fields, electronic noise, and mechanical degradation introduce minute measurement errors and frequency instability. No single instrument is completely free from drift.
To eliminate dependence on any solitary clock or laboratory, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures, based in Sèvres, France, maintains an international ensemble. The Bureau collects measurement data continuously from several hundred atomic clocks located in more than 80 national metrology laboratories and timing institutions worldwide. Its algorithm evaluates the historical stability of each participating instrument, assigning higher mathematical weight to clocks that demonstrate superior long-term regularity. Through this weighted statistical combination, the Bureau calculates international atomic time. This scale provides a continuous, highly uniform rate of ticking that marches forward without interruption. Human civil life, however, is anchored to the rising and setting of the sun, and the rotational speed of planet Earth is neither uniform nor completely predictable. Ocean tides, atmospheric winds, and convective movements within Earth's mantle continuously alter the planet's rotation.
To prevent atomic time from drifting away from the turning Earth, metrologists established Coordinated Universal Time, commonly known as UTC, in 1972. UTC ticks at the identical rate of international atomic time, but it diverges from it by an integer number of leap seconds. The International Earth Rotation and Reference System Service monitors planetary rotation using astronomical observations. It alerts the world when a leap second must be inserted or omitted, ensuring that UTC remains within 9/10 of a second of Earth's rotational time.
This arrangement produces a surprising operational reality. The definitive global reference cannot be read directly from a physical instrument in real time. The definitive calculation of UTC is retrospective. Each month, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures processes the collected data and publishes an official record known as Circular T.
This document reports the precise mathematical offsets between UTC and the local timescales generated by the participating national laboratories weeks earlier. Because working technical systems cannot wait 30 days for an official publication to find out what time it was, major national laboratories generate real-time physical realizations. The United States Naval Observatory, for instance, maintains its own continuous realization, designated as UTC-USNO. The observatory continuously monitors an ensemble of hydrogen masers and commercial cesium clocks. By steering their output using published comparisons from Circular T, it provides a physical signal that stays aligned within a few billionths of a second of the calculated international standard. Understanding modern synchronization requires recognizing the fundamental boundary between keeping time and distributing time. Keeping time is an act of metrology, housing laboratory standards, calculating ensembles, and measuring minute physical discrepancies. Distributing time is an engineering challenge. It means transmitting an estimate of that reference across physical space, through satellites, terrestrial antennas, and fiber cables. Across those distances, every kilometer of transit and every electronic switch introduces delays, jitter, and uncertainty. The most common way modern infrastructure receives a precise timing reference is through space. Global navigation satellite systems, including the American GPS network, European Galileo, and similar constellations, are primarily timing networks masquerading as positioning systems. Each operational satellite carries an onboard atomic clock. The GPS control segment calculates the orbital position and clock drift of every satellite and continuously updates the navigation messages broadcast to the surface. GPS does not broadcast standard civil time directly. It maintains its own internal scale, known as GPS time, which has run continuously without leap seconds since 1980. The satellites broadcast mathematical correction parameters that relate their internal time to the physical realization maintained by the United States Naval Observatory, including the current offset in whole leap seconds. A ground-based timing receiver locks onto signals from multiple satellites, resolves its own position and antenna delay, and extracts a sharp electrical pulse per second signal aligned to the reference. That electrical pulse provides a master heartbeat. In a mobile telecommunications base station, a power utility substation, or a private data center, the pulse disciplines a local oscillator. From that entry point, the timing reference must propagate downward into computer racks, microprocessors, and sensor arrays. Across standard local computer networks and the public internet, systems rely on the network time protocol. NTP exchanges time-stamped packets between clients and designated time servers. By measuring the transmit and receive times of packets moving back and forth, the protocol calculates the offset between the two clocks and estimates the round-trip delay through the network. In typical local area networks, the protocol can keep machines synchronized within a few milliseconds. Across the open internet, however, variable routing paths, asymmetric traffic, and packet buffering introduce fluctuating delays, making tight, deterministic synchronization impossible. When operations demand microsecond or sub-microsecond precision, engineers turn to the Precision Time Protocol, standardized as IEEE 1588. Unlike standard network time distribution, this protocol relies on hardware timestamping directly at the physical network interface layer, bypassing the unpredictable software queues of host operating systems. Timing-aware network switches measure the internal residence time of each packet as it passes through the hardware and update the packet's correction field in transit. In a tightly engineered local network, this protocol can align distributed clocks to within tens of nanoseconds. Accuracy and traceability, however, are attributes of an entire physical chain, not guarantees provided by a protocol name. Simply configuring a server to query a public timing server over the internet does not produce trustworthy time. if the cable lengths are uncalibrated, if the network experiences asymmetric congestion, or if the upstream reference lacks auditable comparison to an official national laboratory, the resulting timestamps lack metrological traceability. Specialized facilities, such as national metrology institutes and central financial exchanges, bypass public networks altogether, transferring timing signals through dedicated fiber links using bidirectional optical amplifiers or two-way satellite time comparisons. Yet at the final endpoint of every distribution path sits a standalone local oscillator, whether an inexpensive quartz crystal on a motherboard, a compact rubidium standard in a cell tower, or a rack-mounted cesium tube. Whatever its design, that local oscillator must carry the burden of time whenever the external signal is degraded or lost. Synchronization earns its keep in physical infrastructure, where disparate physical processes must operate as a single coordinated machine. Consider an alternating current electrical grid. Electrical frequency, typically 50 Hertz in Europe and parts of Asia, or 60 Hertz in the Americas, reflects the real-time balance between total power generation and total consumer demand. If demand exceeds supply, the massive rotating turbines and power stations slow down, and system frequency drops. Phase describes where the alternating electrical waveform sits within that repeating cycle at any given fraction of second. Power naturally flows from regions of higher voltage phase angle to regions of lower voltage phase angle. To monitor these flows across continent-wide grids, power utilities deploy phasor measurement units, or PMUs. These instruments sample electrical voltage and current waveforms thousands of times per second and tag each measurement with a high-precision timestamp derived from an external satellite receiver. By comparing phase angle measurements taken hundreds of miles apart, grid operators can observe dynamic power flows, detect dangerous inter-area oscillations, and identify stressed transmission lines long before equipment fails. This capability depends entirely on absolute time. In a 60 Hertz power system, a complete electrical cycle lasts roughly 16.6 milliseconds. A timing error of just one single millisecond translates to an apparent phase error of 21.6 degrees. An instrument suffering from an undetected timing error will report a massive phantom phase shift where none exists, potentially triggering protective automated relays or causing human operators to misdiagnose an emerging blackout. A timing failure in a synchrophaser network degrades wide area visibility and compromises automated protection algorithms. It does not cause an alternating current grid to fall out of rhythm instantly because the physical generators remain synchronized through their direct electromagnetic coupling across transmission wires. But it blinds the digital safety systems designed to prevent local disturbances from cascading into regional blackouts. In capital markets, synchronization governs the legal and mechanical reality of trading. Financial exchanges and market participants process millions of quotes, orders, and cancellations every second across geographically dispersed matching engines. In Europe, the Markets in Financial Instruments Directive framework, known as MiFID II, establishes strict timestamp requirements based on the speed of trading activity. For high-frequency algorithmic trading venues, operators must maintain timestamps with a maximum divergence of no more than 100 microseconds from UTC, with a resolution down to 1 microsecond. The United States implements comparable standards through the Consolidated Audit Trail, which requires trading venues and algorithmic broker-dealers to synchronize their systems to an auditable national time standard. These rules do not exist merely for administrative neatness. Suppose a client submits a trade cancellation on one server, while an automated counterparty executes against that order on another server hundreds of miles away. The exchange must determine with absolute certainty which event occurred first. If the clock uncertainty exceeds the physical latency between the two venues, reconstructing the chronological order book becomes mathematically impossible, destroying market transparency and making market manipulation undetectable. Inside distributed computer architecture and cloud data centers, reliance on civil time creates different systemic hazards. Modern databases frequently partition data across thousands of independent nodes. When two users modify the same record in different parts of the world, the system must decide which change takes precedence. Systems that use a strategy known as last write wins rely entirely on local machine timestamps. If one server's clock drifts forward by even 50 milliseconds, its writes will silently overwrite subsequent updates from other servers, corrupting customer balances, inventory states, and operational logs. Engineers frequently introduce logical clocks, such as Lamport timestamps or vector clocks, to establish the causal order of internal events without depending on physical wall clocks. But logical clocks cannot replace real-world physical time when computer systems interact with the outside world. Web servers rely on timestamps to validate the expiration of security certificates. A machine whose local clock drifts outside a certificate's validity window will immediately reject valid encrypted traffic. Log analysis across multi-tier software architectures becomes an exercise in guesswork if timestamps generated by separate microservices cannot be correlated with microsecond precision. Telecommunications networks push these physical requirements even further. Modern mobile networks, operating with fifth-generation time division duplexing, allocate the exact same radio frequency band for both upload and download traffic, separating them by microscopic time intervals. Adjacent cellular towers must coordinate their transmission and reception phases down to within 1.5 microseconds of each other. If the internal clock of one tower drifts out of phase, it transmits high-power signals while its neighbor is listening for weak phone transmissions. This interference blinds the neighboring receiver and severs mobile connectivity across the coverage overlap.
When external synchronization fails, an isolated clock enters what engineers call holdover mode. In holdover, the device can no longer receive external steering pulses and must rely entirely on the mechanical or atomic stability of its local internal oscillator.
Every oscillator drifts. An uncompensated standard quartz oscillator might exhibit a frequency error of 1 part per million, meaning it loses or gains roughly 1 microsecond every single second. At that rate, the clock accumulates 86 milliseconds of error in a single day, and a full second of error in 12 days. Temperature-compensated and oven-controlled quartz oscillators perform substantially better, but they still drift away from true time within hours. A high-grade rubidium atomic oscillator can maintain microsecond alignment for 24 to 48 hours, while a local cesium beam tube can hold that threshold for weeks. Yet holdover is always a temporary, degrading grace period.
The duration of useful holdover is strictly bounded by the oscillator's intrinsic stability, ambient temperature variations, and the specific tolerance of the application it serves.
Timing failures rarely take the form of an oscillator suddenly stopping. Instead, systems encounter 4 distinct operational failure conditions. The first is progressive drift, where a clock steadily diverges from reality because it lost its disciplining input. The second is the loss of verifiable traceability. An isolated clock might happen to remain close to the correct time, yet because its connection to a recognized national laboratory is severed, its timestamps lose all legal validity for regulatory compliance and dispute resolution.
The third failure mode is skew between independent systems. If two data centers lose external synchronization simultaneously, their internal oscillators will inevitably drift in opposite directions, rapidly multiplying the disagreement between them. The fourth and most dangerous mode is common mode corruption, where multiple systems accept a synchronized external signal that is internally consistent but factually wrong. Common mode corruption often traces back to the vulnerability of satellite time distribution.
Radio signals broadcast from satellites 20,000 kilometers above Earth arrive at ground antennas with minuscule power, often weaker than background cosmic noise. This makes them extraordinarily vulnerable to terrestrial interference. Low-cost radio frequency jammers can swamp an antenna's front-end receiver, causing a total loss of tracking.
Far more sophisticated is spoofing, where a terrestrial transmitter emits counterfeit satellite signals with slightly higher power levels. By slowly altering the time codes contained in the counterfeit broadcast, an attacker can smoothly drag a ground receiver's clock off true time without tripping standard signal loss alarms. Downstream systems continue operating normally, unaware that their foundational reference has been systematically displaced. These risks are not purely theoretical. Operational history documents real-world disruptions across global timing infrastructure. In July 2019, the European Galileo satellite constellation suffered an almost total multi-day operational outage. The satellites remained mechanically healthy in orbit and continued broadcasting signals. However, a major failure in the ground-based control infrastructure prevented engineers from calculating precise orbital paths and onboard clock offsets. Because the ground segment could not verify the accuracy of the timing data, operators were forced to mark the entire constellation unhealthy for navigation and timing use. Critical infrastructure operating across Europe had to switch to fallback references or rely exclusively on foreign constellations. 3 months earlier, in April 2019, global systems confronted a long-known legacy constraint, the GPS weak number rollover. In the legacy GPS navigation broadcast, the calendar week is represented by a 10-bit binary counter. This allows a maximum value of 1,023 weeks before the counter rolls over to zero, an event that occurs once every 19.6 years. Although the date of the April rollover was mathematically certain decades in advance, numerous legacy timing cards, weather stations, and maritime navigation receivers contained software that mishandled the reset. Devices suddenly interpreted the date as 1999 or failed to initialize altogether. The atomic clocks aboard the satellites did not lose a single vibration of accuracy. The failure occurred entirely within the terrestrial software tasked with translating a repeating mathematical counter into a human calendar date. These documented failures reveal a crucial principle. A clock can fail at its physical source, across its distribution channel, or within the digital software interpreting its messages. In every case, an ordinary wall clock would have appeared completely unaffected, while precision systems downstream suffered catastrophic loss of trust. Building resilient infrastructure, recognizing that synchronization cannot rely on a single delivery mechanism. Modern engineering guidelines increasingly mandate that critical facilities adopt multiple, physically diverse timing sources. A common industry mistake is installing two identical satellite receivers on the same rooftop and treating them as redundant. This configuration protects against the mechanical failure of a single antenna, yet both receivers share the exact same sky, the same atmospheric fluctuations, and the same vulnerability to localized radio jamming or deliberate spoofing. True redundancy requires physical diversity, combining satellite timing with subterranean fiber optic distribution using the precision time protocol, long-wave terrestrial radio broadcasts such as Enhanced Loran, and hardened local atomic oscillators capable of extended autonomous holdover. Alongside physical diversity, resilient systems rely on continuous integrity monitoring and active uncertainty reporting. Instead of treating time as a single absolute number, a well-designed architecture assigns a dynamic margin of error to every timestamp. When an external satellite lock begins to degrade, the system immediately widens its reported uncertainty value and logs the transition. Downstream software can then take deterministic action.
an electrical utility's analytics engine can flag or discard synchrophasor measurements that carry high timing uncertainty. An algorithmic trading system can smoothly throttle execution speeds or widen its pricing bands. Meanwhile, a telecommunications node can adjust its cell coordination profiles before overlapping radio signals cause interference.
As the physical requirements for precision accelerate, the fundamental definitions governing international time are undergoing profound shifts. For decades, the leap second has served as an uneasy compromise between atomic precision and planetary rotation. In software engineering, however, an irregular minute containing 61 seconds is an anomaly that standard operating systems and network protocols struggle to handle cleanly. Software developers have devised various ad hoc workarounds, such as leap smearing, where the extra second is gradually blended into network clocks over a period of 12 to 24 hours.
But because different technology companies implement different smearing formulas, the practice introduces synthetic disagreements between systems, precisely when universal alignment is most critical.
Recognizing these vulnerabilities, metrological authorities at the General Conference on Weights and Measures voted to loosen the permissible discrepancy between atomic time and planetary rotation by the mid-2030s. This decision effectively halts the continuous insertion of leap seconds, prioritizing the stability of global digital synchronization over the historical requirement that civil noon must coincide precisely with the sun's highest point in the sky. Simultaneously, the laboratory boundaries of precision are expanding beyond cesium. Metrologists are currently preparing to redefine the international second using optical atomic clocks. Instead of probing atoms with microwave radiation oscillating at 9 billion cycles per second, optical clocks utilize lasers tuned to visible light frequencies that oscillate hundreds of thousands of times faster, at hundreds of terahertz. These clocks probe neutral strontium or ytterbium atoms held in optical lattices or isolated single ions. By operating at optical frequencies, they achieve levels of systematic uncertainty so low that they would neither gain nor lose a second across the entire age of the universe.
Optical clocks unlock breathtaking possibilities for fundamental physics, including the detection of subtle gravitational shifts caused by underground magma movement through relativistic time dilation. Yet, they present a formidable distribution paradox. Modern optical clocks are already so precise that no existing satellite timing link has the measurement resolution to compare two of them across different continents without corrupting the measurement with atmospheric noise. To integrate optical clocks into the international ensemble of the future, metrology laboratories are laying specialized phase-stabilized optical fiber links thousands of kilometers across landmasses to transfer frequency references without passing through the open air.
Ultimately, asking what time it is does not point to a single master instrument ticking in isolation. It describes an unbroken, fragile chain of atomic measurements, mathematical consensus, satellite signals, and local oscillators working in perpetual agreement. If this breakdown changed the way you view the invisible timing infrastructure that underpins your daily life, consider how much of our technological world depends not on absolute certainty, but on a carefully maintained agreement that must never be broken. Thanks for watching. To create your own audiobooks from your prompts and documents, visit myaudiobooks.ai. Subscribe for more.